There are a lot of things that matter to me. Family, community, culture, and peace of mind. Hi, it's Wilmer Valderrama, and when balancing life, I have to say nothing brings more comfort than having support. And when it comes to ensuring those things that matter to you the most, State Farm offers the support with an agent available in person or on the phone to discuss your coverage options. Support when you need it, however you choose. That's State Farm's way. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
No role plays, just real. Chris and Lorenzo share four decades of combined experience to help you become a more effective leader.
We've never really, as a workforce, spent a lot of time on making sure we're developing good leaders.
We'll be able to share stories, experience, mistakes, failures, successes.
This is Hacking Your Leadership.
Welcome to Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Chris.
And I'm Lorenzo.
And Lorenzo, on this episode, I want to talk about training and the effectiveness of training. The reason I want to talk about this is because I came across something recently in my own personal life where I was expected to know something and I didn't. And it was frustrating because the way in which I was able to do this thing in order to know it was so infrequent that I just found it really difficult to retain the information. And I kind of had to just kind of put myself in a situation where I had to do it over and over again, even though it wasn't something I was supposed to do, just to make sure I had the information in my head. And the reason why that kind of made me want to talk about this today is because I think in a lot of organizations and a lot of places, there are ineffective ways of training and teaching people that lead them to not retain the things that you want them to retain. And I want to talk about this because this is I think it's so key to teaching anybody to do something or to repeat something. So I want to ask you, have you ever been asked to execute on something where you were expected to know it and do it because it was part of your job, but you didn't feel like you had been set up for success in terms of the preparation piece prior?
Absolutely. Yeah. Usually it's one of those things where there's like a, you know, like a long kind of manual or PDF document, or maybe even like an online training that you sit through and you kind of listen and maybe you take notes, and maybe you're half in, you're half out of it. Some parts are interesting. Some parts are like, eh, whatever.
Sure.
And then you get asked to do it and you're like, oh man, I should have probably paid more attention.
Right.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to need to know this. Oh wait, I need to know this.
Yeah. This will never be something I have to do.
Never.
You know, 2 hours later,
yes.
Here I am doing it. Yes. So absolutely. I think it's, you know, what you said in kind of in your own experience is very relatable, I think, to a lot of people when it comes to training. And that, you know, it also depends a lot on how you learn. You know, that's one of the things that I think over time you discover as a leader, people learn differently. And there are some things that I think that we'll probably talk about in the show that kind of apply to most, and that are the maybe the tips and tricks that you can do that help to retain the most amount of knowledge for most people. But there's also a part of it always that is, you know, how do people actually learn, and how do they retain, you know, content and things that you want them to do and behaviors over and over again. For me, I could tell you as a kid growing up and to this day, like math is really easy for me. I can see it on a board. You can explain to me, you know, just show me what the formula is, and like it just works and I can understand it. And I don't have to spend much time practicing it and doing it over and over again. But I know that's not the same for most people. And so I can sit in a classroom and maybe not, like, it doesn't look like I'm paying attention or that I'm not putting my full effort into the book, but if I can watch somebody do it and understand what they're doing, that's really all I need. So like that's the situation where, you know, that type of learning works to my benefit. Now, if it's something that I'm not interested in, then I'm probably the last person that's paying attention nor taking notes, and would have to force myself to read through a textbook to practice it over and over again. Just because it's something that I'm not really interested in, so I lose my attention and focus very, very quickly.
Right, but if I, let me ask you a question then. In the same situation, even if it's something that you weren't passionate about or interested in, but you knew in advance that the very next day you were going to be asked to show that you are competent and able to execute whatever that thing is, and if you are able to do it, you get 100% pay raise, and if you're not able to do it, you lose your job. I bet you'd find a way to make that happen, right?
Oh, I take out the little black book and the pen and paper that we talk about in every 1 minute hack, and I'd start taking notes. I'd be ready.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's what it comes down to, is there has to be an incentive to be able to remember something to begin with. If you, if there's literally no incentive, then it's really difficult to do this. So the incentive could be intrinsic. It could be, I have an incentive to know this because this is something I'm really passionate about. Like whether it's a hobby that you're trying to get better at, you know, this is like, I love doing this. Therefore it just kind of ticks off those boxes and I don't need to have an external accountability. But if I don't have that passion around it, I don't care about it, then there probably needs to be an external accountability if I want to retain it. And so I got to like looking up the different things that people do in order to make sure that that content is retained. And I kind of like, there's a lot of content out there about all this stuff, but really what it comes down to is having four things that if you want to ensure your people are going to retain the items that they're being taught, whether it's by you or by electronic learnings or anything in between. The content has to be relevant to what the expectation is. So you can't be expected to execute something if it's very mechanical by reading how to do it in a book in just words. You have to see, there has to be diagrams, there has to be how-to videos, there has to be, you know, the content itself has to mimic what is being asked of the person. So it has to be good. The second thing is they have to be able to do it over and over and over again. It can't just be a one and done. The third is that they have to be able to do it in a setting where the training part of it is done and they're able to execute without the pressures of feeling like they're being held accountable to the outcome. So it's like a learn by immersion thing. And then lastly, there does have to be accountability at some point. And so if you give a person really good and relevant content, meaning it matches what the expectation is, they get a chance to do it over and over and over again. They get a chance to do it in a real world environment. And then they know that at some point they're going to be held accountable to whatever the results are. Then you typically get people retaining. And I don't know about you, but I can think back to a lot of the training programs and regimens that I've been through over the years. And a lot of them miss at least one, maybe even two of them.
What you described as you were talking through it, I think is the reason why so many people love the cooking shows where like it's just a disaster. Oh. Where they have candidates come on, because like literally it's the exact opposite of what you described. Like they have a professional chef, somebody who's done this for decades,
yep,
show them how to do it, and they're all looking like, I don't even know what that knife is called, let alone what you're actually doing right now, right? And then it's done in such a way that there is no there's no practice, there's no repetition. You're on the clock. You have like 30 minutes to make this dish, and then there's the pressures of like you are going to be held accountable because this is a competition,
right
and everything. Like it just cracks me up. But I think that's why there's so much joy in those shows, is because you're walking in watching this saying there's no chance, like they don't have a chance to get this right. So this is just gonna be a comedy of errors. It's gonna be so much fun to watch. But to your point though, with organizations and training, when you miss these things or you don't have these built out, if you're not doing all four of these for your people, then that's what you should expect, is to have like the cake that's supposed to look like, you know, a Disney princess ends up looking like SpongeBob. You know, like that's what's going to happen with when it comes to people's ability to retain and to develop and to grow. So I would completely agree that at minimum, most organizations miss one. And the one that they typically will miss is like the part of actually taking the time to do this in a realistic opportunity or an environment. So whether right. you want to, and again, like
the practice piece,
right? I enjoy doing role plays, but my role plays are very different because I don't like to do role plays where you have to follow a script and it's basically just like script reading.
Right.
I say this, then you say that, then I say this, and then haha, what an amazing role play. No, I like to do them with people as real as it could be, where they are the customer, where they're actually talking about things that they know about, questions that they have in the retail space, because I think that allows them to feel that it's in an environment that's realistic. They understand what it feels like to be a customer in that space. They understand what it feels like to be heard and to have a great conversation. So again, I think at minimum, most organizations miss at least that one piece when it comes to actual content and training, and they end up practicing on their customer or their client or whoever the person is that's making a decision to do business with your company. They end up practicing on them versus practicing with each other to make sure that it's good and that people are confident with it.
Right. The practice piece is when we say a lot of companies get it wrong, it's not that they don't have it. It's that the part that they have is terrible. It's not representative of what real life is going to be. It's exactly what you just said. The examples are these scripts. And it's like, wouldn't it be amazing if every real client ended up this way? They say they're not really interested. You say, yeah, but what about this? And they go, wow, you have enlightened me. Now I will spend $100,000 with your organization. You know, that's just not how it works. And if you are the person writing these trainings or whatever it is, and you're putting this down thinking, I don't know how to effectively do this in a real world environment. All I can do is try to mimic it as best I can. Well, first of all, if you've never lived in that environment, there's no way you can do it at all. It's not even possible. So you got to make sure that the people who are creating these trainings, who are involved in developing what the practice is, are people who have had to execute these things recently, because the world changes over a period of months or years. So it has to be recent. And if they're unable to do it, they need to partner with somebody who can to make sure that it's relevant and not just kind of pencil whip it like, oh, this is what I would say, so I guess this is what the world would say. But the accountability piece is what you talked about with your cooking show example. They went right to accountability with nothing else beforehand. And the companies that I've seen have a difficult time with this, they either don't have accountability at all, meaning that they remove the incentive to retain the information for things that people aren't passionate about to begin with, or the accountability is really good, but the part leading up to it is terrible. And so people feel like they're flustered or that they've been hung out to dry and not being able to, you know, retain the stuff they're expected to know.
No, absolutely. Right. I think you make some great points there. And it's, you know, to just thinking about training in general, and just keeping it relevant and timely is absolutely critical, because things change so quickly, because there's so much nuance. And like, again, I understand that like organizations have to create training materials and that those materials need to exist in written format, in video format, maybe in live session training. But I think that is where it makes the most amount of sense. If you have people that have shown over time their ability to actually not only train people, but help to influence, you know, their ability to show up as their best version of themselves and find success in a role. Like, those are actually your best trainers, right? Maybe they're not the most polished. Maybe they are, you know, maybe they're not the most capable in regards to like writing things that would have to go in training materials. But when they are getting people up to speed, and when those people are finding success in a role, those are actually your best trainers. Very rarely, though, do organizations approach it that way. Most organizations will take some people from that have done the job or have, you know, experience in the job and that are maybe, you know, good at presenting, good at writing, good at explaining what things look like or what they should be. But when it actually comes down to helping people and tweaking and providing, you know, unique content or pivoting in the way that somebody learns to help them get better, like those are very different types of skills and backgrounds and things that are needed. You know, one of my favorite things I'm watching right now that I see from time to time, I cannot remember the guy's name right now, but he's on social media and he does like sales training and he helps people to like small business owners and entrepreneurs like overcome objections and things like that when they're trying to pitch their company or pitch their idea. And what I love about it is that he is teaching the concept and then he'll just grab somebody out of the crowd and he'll say, "Why? You know, would you hire me to do this? Yes or no? Do you have this much money in your budget? Yes or no?" And then he'll ask them the questions and then continue to ask them questions in such a way that helps them to connect the dots as to why they should pay him and why it would be silly not to. And like why I love that is because it's real. You can see that he's showing them in real time how he would actually do this and what that phone call or that conversation would look like. And that part of it for people to actually see what great looks like or to understand and say, beyond the theory of what you're teaching me, somebody show me what that actually is. Show me that in real life. And then like even with me involved, that is so powerful to helping people, you know, retain the content and not only take a training, but then be able to execute the training that they've learned in the role that they have.
Yeah, I know the guy you're talking about. And I can't think of his name either. He has that the example where he talks about, you know, if I want to have you make a logo for my organization, how long does it take to make it?
Exactly. And that's the guy. Yes.
Yeah, that's the guy. Yep. Yeah. Yep. And he really puts a logic behind the emotion that goes into decisions. So people make a decision and they think it's an emotional one, but really rooted in the back of their brain is a logic that surrounds it. And he kind of digs into what that logic was that that led to the decision, when people might not even be aware that that's why they're making the decision to begin with. And if you can identify why that decision is being made, then you can kind of work backward from it and think, okay, how do I present this differently so that the data is presented in a way that makes a compelling argument, as opposed to one that is kind of surface level. It's the, you know, the, going back to your baking example, it's this, if I have the fondant on the cake, it might look great in the window, but if when I cut into it, it's you know, tastes like cardboard, then that's not going to be good enough. It won't survive the actual practical application test. It's just going to look good in the window. And so, yeah, 100% this is true, that you have to make sure that whoever is doing the teaching, or at least doing the practice part of it after you've done the content, is someone who can kind of recognize whether what is happening is representative of the real world. That's probably a different person than the person who wrote the training, as it should be, because a person who's well-versed and skilled at writing and creating a training probably isn't the same person who is well-versed at executing it daily, and vice versa. It's just the way roles work out in many organizations. So this has to be a multi-tiered approach where the right people are involved. And I think that trying to kind of cookie cutter it and package it all together with a nice bow so that you can say, I checked off the box, my people did this, and now I can hold them accountable, you know, without actually making sure that they feel like they've been supported, I think that's where a lot of leaders, you know, go off the rails.
It's critical for leaders to really think about layering in ways of making sure that, you know, what they are giving to their people, it does make sense, and it is a part of actually doing their job. I think there are trainings and things that people have to go through just for the sake of saying they've gone through them, and there are the trainings that are critical to somebody finding success in a role. And I think that as a leader, you want to make sure that you are, you know, providing the appropriate amount of importance on the ones that really, really do matter. You know, I think that when you think about certain industries, and I'll give retail as an example, like there's a training on how to appropriately, you know, systematically close down a retail store and count cash and put it in deposit bag. And then there's also a training in regards to, like, how do you have an effective coaching conversation, you know, with somebody in their career. And like both of those trainings may be a virtual 30-minute training video that you watch. And then one of them is like, okay, you've watched it. Show me that you know how to do it. Now let me give you some repetition a couple of times in regards to, like, did you count the cash correctly? Does the number you say at the end of the night equal the right number? All right, good. You're good with that. Fantastic. Awesome. Versus the, now, what did you take away from that training? What's going to be your approach to somebody when you sit down with them in a developmental conversation? You know what? Matter of fact, let you and I sit down together and you treat me as the employee so that I can get an understanding of how you would approach this. Like, again, from an operational company standpoint, they may be exactly the same amount of timed training, but as a leader, how you spend your time enforcing or not even necessarily enforcing, but just like kind of like inspiring or motivating the actions and behaviors behind the ones that are really important is mission critical if you want your leaders to understand how important those trainings are.
Well, it could be argued that they're both equally important, but whether or not you can ensure that one has been effectively trained and retained is very different too, because one, the outcome looks exactly the same for every person. Whether or not the register's counted out right, either it is or isn't, it's very, very objective. When it comes to career conversations and development accountability, that's going to look very different depending on who the leader is who's doing it. It's also going to look very different for each person. And I've been in situations where earlier in my career where I had a half a dozen career conversations with people that went really, really well. And it was inspiring confidence in me to think, oh, I'm getting good at this. And then I would completely crash and burn on one just because I wasn't able to relate to that person in the way that they wanted it. And it was like a back to the drawing board moment. It was this, oh my gosh, no matter how good you get at this, it's not about being able to repeat the same thing. It's about meeting somebody where they are. And the only way to get good at that is to do it more and more and more. So on trainings like that, it's probably more heavily weighted in the practice part of it than just the having the good content there.
Absolutely. And with that, it brings us to this episode's 1 minute hack. But first, a few words from our sponsors.
As an actor, a producer, and a proud Latino father, my days can get very busy, which is why I make sure to dedicate time to what's important, like supporting my community through my work, sharing my Colombian and Venezuelan culture, and being present for my family, which is everything to me. Hey everyone, it's Wilmer Valderrama, and we're reflecting on what matters most. I start by giving thanks for good support in my life whenever I need to make the big decisions. How about you? If it's insurance you need, State Farm is there to help you choose the right coverage for you. And State Farm offers great support 24/7. Just call an agent. State Farm is also a big supporter of My Cultura podcast network by helping to share our Latinx voices. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The 1 minute hack.
All right, for this episode's 1 minute hack, here's what I want you to do. I want you to write down on a piece of paper the four elements of effective training. You have to have good, relevant content. You have to have repetition. You have to have practice, like real world practice, and you have to have accountability. There's going to be differing amounts of time and resources you have for each thing that you're trying to teach your people. But the solution to making sure that you still get the job done is not to cut out one of those four things. It's to decide how much time and resources you can put to each one of them and move things around without eliminating any of them. And so if you have an hour to do a training, it might involve 15 minutes of each of those pieces. If you have days to do it, it might involve more time. Don't fall into the trap of eliminating one of the four of them altogether for the sake of, oh my gosh, I don't have enough time or enough resources. You can take things, little bits out of each of those four buckets, make sure that there's more where more is needed for each person, but don't eliminate any of them. Make sure that all the trainings you do, all the things that you expect your team to know, have at least part of each of those four elements of good, relevant content, repetition, practice in a real world environment, and then accountability for knowing it.
Yeah, I think it's a great 1 minute hack and a good reminder that, you know, to truly be successful, you need all four. But how much of each one and how much time you commit to each one, that is really kind of the role of the leaders to understand that. And that's kind of what ties into how do you prioritize or how do you, you know, add some extra, you know, oomph behind the ones that really, really are important to your business or to your people or to your strategies.
Yeah. And if there's no accountability at all, it probably means it wasn't important to begin with. But if there is accountability and it's coming from even one or two layers above you, then it's really important to get those other first three right. Otherwise, your people are going to feel like they were not set up for success.
Absolutely. And with that, it brings us to the end of this episode. This is Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Lorenzo.
And I'm Chris.
And we'll talk to you all next time.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.